From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered, and we are off to Newport, the Newport Folk Festival. It's that time of year. It's one of my very favorite festivals, and the reason is because the people are great, the music is amazing, and so is the atmosphere, and things happen at Newport that happen nowhere else. On the line with me, where are you, Jay?
I'm in Boston right now.
In Boston, Massachusetts. It's Jay Sweet. Newport takes place in Newport, Rhode Island, not so far from where you are. And I don't even know your title anymore. Are you the artistic director or the manager?
Executive producer of the Newport Festivals Foundation.
Great. And that sort of means that at least since 2009 or so, right, 2009, you started helping or you started programming the artists that were coming to the festival. And these days you have a bigger role, but that's the core of why we're talking to you, because you're the guy.
Right, that's the one thing when I moved up the ladder, I refused to let go.
That's a part of the job you love.
That's what makes all the other part of the job worth it.
Awesome. And so Newport this year, Newport Folk has been an ever-evolving festival, a tradition that goes back how many years now? Where are we at, 50?
57, so 1959, so 57 years, the granddaddy of all American music festivals. It's really the first one, and the weird thing is rock and roll, the term, hadn't even really been cemented yet when we started, which is pretty funny
to think.
That's how old it is.
Yeah. One of the things I want to do today, and NPR Music will have some coverage of the festival, we'll have some sets up online for you. There'll be some live webcasting from TuneIn that we will put up a link to so you can hear live coverage at the festival. I'll be taking photographs and Instagrams, but the most exciting part is what happens musically at the festival. And so today on the show, for those who didn't get tickets and now they sell out before you even announce the festival, when we first started working with you guys, I don't know that you even sold out every...
No, I mean, that was kind of year one when you and I conspired to partner up here. I remember, I mean, God, it's been, we've had like six or seven of these. I look at it as my annual talk with Bob about the state of all things folk. And it's funny, as I actually think about this conversation, months and months before we have it, because I want to, if you ask me about a certain artist, I want to have an answer ready for you, because you always seem to do a very good job of asking me why certain artists, and then I always feel like I have to have a good reason.
Well, then let's start. Rory.
I knew you'd start with the hardest one, right? Thank you.
So the thing here is that it's a festival that, although it's defined as a folk festival, that means many, many things, and people have a very closed mind as to what that is. And let's bring Rory to the table and tell us who Rory is and why Newport Folk.
Here's the thing is I remember having one of my final conversations with Pete Seeger, may he rest in peace, who was really a co-founder with George Wein, but also kind of the spiritual center of everything we do. And I had this conversation with him, sometime after his 90-whatever birthday. And we were talking about the future, and he reminded me that what is most imperative is to bring artists that are not afraid to speak truth to power, thus it might adversely affect their career. That was very important to him.
Wow.
And remember, he's coming back from thinking about this from when he himself was blacklisted, in the 50s.
For
him
to
say
that blacklisted is basically accused of being a communist, therefore being sort of a traitor to your country and your government.
And thus being held off of any kind of form of media, radio,
television,
TV, because he was speaking the truth about various things like war and whatnot. And so I thought to myself, who are some of those artists now that are doing that, and especially young artists that are kind of not afraid to say what they feel in a pretty poignant and straightforward manner. And I think Rory does that. So musically, it may sound not like other artists you might think would be at Newport, but if you listen to what he's trying to say, I think it fits exactly into the spectrum with what I consider to be folk music.
Do you have a cut that you want to hear from Rory?
I'd like to hear Devil's Whisper. If you listen to the lyrics of this one, you'll understand what I'm talking about.
You better run. Thank you.
fool the world I see. Well, young boy, I can give you everything. Diamonds, everything you touch can be. Golden, but first you gotta listen to me. I'll tell the truth, I promise you. This world may frown upon the things I have you do, but I got taste and I got style. I know the twists and turns to make your life worthwhile.
Good choice.
Yeah, right there is where he goes into starting spitting some pretty heavy rhyme. And, you know, I it's one of those things when you're kind of contemplating who you want to bring and you let the universe help you out. And for example, I heard some whispers about this kid and he's really, really young.
20.
Yeah. And then really, I think in the first week of Stephen Colbert taking over for Letterman, in that first week, he had this kid on. And if you want to do yourself a favor and be immediately blown away, go on YouTube and check out Rory on Stephen Colbert. When I saw it, I think I didn't make it through the entire clip before I was on the phone making an offer.
Wow. That's...
And that happens so rarely these days because, mm-hmm. you know, usually I feel I have a pretty good idea of who I want or who might be coming up. But that was one of those instant, saw it, made the offer, didn't think twice. And I'm really happy I did.
I'm going to say this next artist may have been one of those also. This is I'm going to play a cut by Margot Price.
Oh, yeah.
You got a song that you love?
No, I'll take any song you got. I like About to Find Out just because of the rhythm of it, but every song, I love every song.
All right, I'll do 4 years of chances.
That's cool.
Margot's been talked about a lot this year because she's got a debut album that just people just fell in love with, Midwest Farmer's Daughter. Where'd you first hear Margot?
Maybe the same way you did. I have some friends down at Third Man Records in Nashville, mm-hmm. and who have we've had a lot of Third Man record artists, Grace Newport, over the last couple years, and you know that was one of those heard it, and you know I get. Obviously pitched so much stuff that comes out of Nashville and you start to gloss over a lot because it seems, I don't want to say cookie cutter, but you know, here's the part where I sing about the whiskey and the pickup truck and everything. But her story, I mean, you don't need to read the biography that comes with any of her stuff because if you listen from the beginning of the album to the end, it all happened. That is basically how she got this album done, and you can hear it from song one all the way through till the end. And it doesn't shout of authenticity. It just breathes authenticity. And I think, you know, with a lot of people that have a BS detector, I know you're one of them, that's what I really enjoyed right out of the gate. I was like, wow, here's somebody speaking and singing without too much polish on it.
There are a lot of bigger artists that we'll come to discuss and maybe only play a little of, but one of the ones that I went oh my God, really? This is awesome. Which Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah. How right? did I know you were going to say that?
How did I
know? Yeah. It was interesting. One, I have to be honest, I was, I wanted them last year. I wanted them. I've actually wanted them for a couple years, and I've been talking to management about it. And, you know, at first it was kind of like, yeah, no, that's crazy. But then the more we thought about it, we're like, yeah, if they're going to do any festival in America, why not do the one where it's the least probably expected?
Because right, they're not American.
Right.
From down under.
Right. I think that, how do I say that? Sometimes Newport is a very serious music heaven for people, but there's one word in there, which is serious. Mm-hmm. I remember asking, and I don't really, fortunately, George Ween, the founder, who's 90, really just kind of lets me do what I want. But this is one of those times where I called him up and I said, hey, listen, George, before anybody plays you any of this music from the Flight of the Conchords, I'd like to give you a little bit of, you know, info as to why I think this was good. And as I started to explain who they were and what they were about, and I was expecting this kind of a little bit of blowback, which would have been the first for George in, you know, 8 or 9 years, he immediately said, Jay, I always wanted the Smothers Brothers, which were, you know, in the early 60s, you know, a kind of a comedy brothers duo that played music. And he said, I always wanted them, so I get it. He's like, I immediately get it, that there's some social commentary that will come, but it'll come through humor. But if you actually just trying to hear again what they're trying to say, that they just do it in a different way and they use humor to get across things that are uncomfortable to talk about. And when the fact that George at 90 understood why I'm putting the Flight of the Conchords on the Newport Folk Festival, I started laughing. I said, okay, well, if George gets it, you know, let's see what happens. And as you know, I've said this probably every year we've had this conversation, if I'm not tweaking the overall nerves of the folk fans just a little bit, I'm really not doing my job. But in general, I think most people are just actually super excited to see it.
Let's just play a moment of inner city pressure.
Inner city life, inner city pressure, the concrete world is starting to get you. The city is alive, the city is expanding, living in the city can be demanding. You've pawned everything, everything you own, your toothbrush, jar, and a camera phone. You don't know where you're going, you cross the street. You don't know why you did, you walk back across the street. Standing in the sitting room, totally skint, and your favorite jersey is covered in lint. You want to sit down, but you've sold your chair, so you just stand there. You just stand there.
I love that the photograph that is used to promote them for this festival is the two of them not holding guitars, which they often do hold.
Yes.
But little omnichords, which are sort of the
Why come to Newport and play acoustic guitars if you're Flight of the Conchords?
Right.
I mean, if they come dressed like Daft Punk, I would not be surprised.
That's fantastic. So what else are you excited about? New artists, we'd love to turn people on. For those who can't come to the festival, we just want to turn you on to something new here.
The funny thing is you and I had this immediate affinity for Julian Baker.
Oh, nice.
I don't know how to say this. Like, it makes me feel good that I know when I am sad and I want somebody to be sad with me, I put on a Julian Baker. I put on her album, mostly the song Something, and she makes me feel okay for being sad. It's so weird to say. And I found that very comforting and made me love her even more. And I one of those things where people would say, really? And I say, yeah, she's expressing some serious emotions. And that's somebody that I'm really happy that we're helping put a bigger spotlight on.
Let's play a little of something from the 2015 record, Sprained Ankle. Don't cry.
I won't. Try.
I might.
Sleeping by now, I'm still up walking around. Walls of my skull bent backwards in like a labyrinth. I knew I was wasting my time, keep myself awake and now.
Some of my favorite memories of Newport are the collaborations that happen there, that happen nowhere else, and that's one of the spirits of the whole festival that's just carried through since its beginning, right?
Yeah, I mean, that. The interesting thing was when Pete Seeger and George Ween kind of conceptualized the idea of the festival, as I like to call it, the Island of Misfit Toys type of mentality, you know, the let's get the people a stage and a PA system from artists that don't really have access to media, you know, at that time, mm-hmm. because they weren't popular and they were saying things that other people didn't want to hear. But part of that also was, you know, trying to break down boundaries that existed just within our society, whether it be, you know, racial relations and equality issues. And the interesting thing about that was, so George would send and Pete a bus to the hotels to pick up the Sea Island Singers, a all-black singing group from the South. And the same bus was sent, you know, after picking them up, would go pick up some Appalachian shape note singers. And with no kind of chaperone on the bus. And you'd see, you know, as the stories go, that a lot of the men from Appalachia stood up and gave their seats. And just from that bus ride, they ended up kind of finding a common ground and so would start sharing songs with each other. And that was very much, you know, quote, organized by Pete, but just saying that if you get musicians who love music, they can find common ground. And that was actually one of the biggest tenets that the festival was founded upon. And so when I look to carry that tradition, I always say, okay, you and I have talked about this before, I'll buy the groceries. But you can't force that. You know, you have to just put them in as close proximity as you can without looking like you're forcing it. To be honest, I'm more surprised about the collaborations. I'm just as surprised about all the collaborations as much as anybody else.
It was great last year. Let's see, who was playing with Roger Waters? It was Jim James,
well,
right?
It was supposed to just start out to be, it was this is, My this Morning is, Jacket.
For those who don't know, Roger Waters, known for being in Pink Floyd. So here we have Roger Waters from Pink Floyd playing a folk festival. So we start there.
Well let's also start that he was semi kind of not retired, but he'd not played a live show in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And then he comes out and instead of doing The Wall or something, he basically, the idea was he wanted to come do basically a cover set of John Prine and Levon Helm songs, because that's how what he loved about Newport is right. that the people like Levon and John Prine were kind of the saints of the festival. And so he kind of came to wanted to do it. And then My Morning Jacket was like, hey, we'll be your band. And then to get basically a call from Roger Waters saying, hey, do you know any female singers that be good? You know, and I remember distinctly calling up Holly and Jess of Lucius and saying, hey, you know, what are you guys doing on the folk weekend? And they were kind of hemming and hawing. And I was like, yeah, I told Roger that Waters, that you might be able. And then Roger was like, well, let's bring in G.E. Smith. And then let's bring in Amy Helm. And the thing just started spiraling in a beautiful way. And of course, not only did they end up doing a Bob Dylan song, a John Prine song, Levon Helm, but also, of course, then you have Roger starting to, you know, play Wish You Were Here. And I know, Bob, you had some moments down in the pit during that
wow.
set.
So beautiful. That night, there was one of the few times you get a little rain come in, and the sky just opened up right at the end of a set, if I remember right.
Yep.
It was this absolute magic moment.
Yep.
And the other thing that happens on the stage at Newport, you feel less that a band is running through their set and entertaining you. You feel as if we are all, musicians and audience, are part of a family, and the musicians are experiencing something special. They're looking out at the sea and boats and beautiful, often sunsets if it's later in the evening, and families, you know, the sorts of audience that they're not necessarily used to playing with or playing to, or can't see because they're usually playing at a big venue in the dark and lights are shining on them, and none of that is happening.
Yeah, I think you've nailed something in there that makes it uniquely different. As you said, we sell out before we announce the lineup, and I thought Jack White and Beck together, they were actually standing together when they said, we're kind of talking about this exact issue you're bringing up. And all I could add to the conversation was that they said they were trying to figure out why it's different. Just physically, why is it different when you play Newport? And I kind of made the obvious statement, said, because no one paid to see you. You don't need to do Seven Nation Army. You don't need to play Loser because no one bought a ticket with this assumption of that they were going to get anything from you, or regardless of you were actually going to be playing the festival. And because there's really there really is no distractions. There's no Ferris wheels or silent discos or big art installations. Not like any of those things are bad, and I think they're all really great if you're at another experience. But Newport is about one thing, and it's music. And you have to remember, everybody that is there has seen some pretty incredible performances. So if you come to do your set, as you said, Bob, here's my festival set, you're going to get crushed.
Right.
And I think, for perfect example, when Beck came, I saw his set list. And it was, full of classic and awesome hits. And halfway through, he could tell, I could easily tell that he felt like, oh, wow, I'm kind of losing him. And he just scrapped it, turned around, and he said, Jay, can you find me a fiddle player? As he said, a fiddle player and, anybody else, dobro, anything you can. And I turned around and, long story, but all of a sudden there's Andrew Bird. And you're like, yeah, okay, I can get Andrew Bird up on stage, whom he had never met. Chris Funk from the Decemberists, that can play any instrument,
anything,
pretty
yeah.
much. And then Ramblin' Jack Elliott, who just happened to be there. And he waved Ramblin' Jack Elliott on. And Ramblin's like, really? You want me to come out? They never met. And they all jumped up on stage and did a mini Hank Williams kind of three-song mini set in the middle of Beck's set. And that's when the audience immediately, they were his. You know what I mean? Because they knew, just because it was so raw and rough and tumble, that it wasn't planned, that then he had them. And it was amazing.
Right. And it's also the moment where he had it, that
yeah.
it became a moment that he'll never forget.
Well, then he came back the following year, not playing the festival, came back to just hang out. And for someone like Beck to go to a music festival on his day off to hang out. By the way, he didn't even tell me he was coming. He just showed up. He got a ticket and just came in, and I didn't even know he was on site. And then I got a text saying, "Hey, this Jimmy Cliff set's amazing." I was like, "Wait, where are you?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm right out by the soundboard." And I was like, ran out there. I don't know, but I think that only happens at Newport.
A couple of the other names you've mentioned to me that we're both looking forward to seeing. I saw Ruby. Is it Aman Fu? Is that how she says it?
Aman Fu, who, my quick note about Ruby, the biggest of other artists that I heard from on any artist we announced, I heard from more artists that have played Newport congratulating me and saying what a genius I was to bring Ruby than any other artist I announced all year.
Well, she's got the voice.
Which is awesome.
And I saw her just recently in Nashville at the Ryman doing a Bob Dylan tribute for Dylan's birthday, blew everyone away. So I'm really looking forward to seeing a full set of hers.
Yeah, you got to see John Moreland, who is
one of the best.
Just crushing, amazing singer, songwriter, for lack of better. He's more than that. He's a lyricist beyond compare, I think, for his age and only been in the scene for a relatively short time. And then I listened to Raylan Baxter pretty much more than I listened. In my office, like it's the CD that never left the seven changer. It just for 4 months.
You have a seven months. Changer CD.
Ten. I don't know. Whatever the playlist. I don't know. I have an office. I always tell the interns, don't take it out of the thing. And then you and I both bonded actually a lot over Joan Shelley.
Oh my gosh!
And my problem with Joan Shelley, and I'm angry, is I can't listen to a Joan Shelley song. You have to listen to that album. Yeah. You can pretend you're going to put it on to listen to a song. I actually listen to it on vinyl more than anything, that particular album, because of the sonic beauty of it. But I don't know about you. I've never been able to listen to a Joan. It's like one Lay's potato chip. Can't do it.
Especially the Over and Even album is probably the one you're thinking about. Right?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a great time. One of the things I'm so curious about is what Patti Smith is going to do. So tell us, Jay, what's
that's you and I both. That's I think we're both in the same boat. No, right. One of those when you kind of pinch yourself after it happened moments, which I am so fortunate to have so many of those. But really, one of the highlights so far, and hasn't, you know, is actually getting on the phone with Patti Smith directly about. She's like, okay, so listen, I'm finally going to come to this thing. Because I've been asking her for a couple of years now. And she's like, okay, listen, I'm coming. And I say, okay. And she goes, what do you want me to do? And I say, I don't care. Just if you want to come do a poetry reading or clogging or you want to just paint a thing on a stage, Patti, I don't care. I think it was very refreshing for her because I just, you know, I'm not asking you to do anything. And then she's like, well, maybe I'll do play at the kids' tent, and then maybe I'll show up at a reading in the museum stage, and then maybe I'll do this, and then you know what? Let's do it. I'm going to do the big rock show, and I was like, okay, great, we have a space for that,
yeah.
You know. So that, but that, you know, at the same time, that was the last conversation I had with her directly. To be honest, I really don't know, but I do think she's going to bring some noise. That's what I do think she's going to do.
I have this image. Because these days and times have been so tough emotionally for so many, seeing so many horrible stories, that the sun is going to start to set at the end of her set, because the evening ends right around sunset.
Yep.
And this is what I'm hoping and thinking. It's going to happen at Newport. Patti's going to get up and end on people.
Your mouth to Patti's ears.
Let's hope. But whatever it is, it'll be magic. Jay Sweet, thank you so much.
Thank you, brother.
Doing all this together that you put together, and I look forward to giving you a big hug.
See you at the fort.
Take care, man.